2 Samuel chapter 16. Tonight we'll be doing chapters 16, 17, and 18. If you would like to read ahead for some homework, we've got all kinds of stuff we're going to be looking at. Very tough times in David's life. And so you may want to think about reading ahead so you get a head start on what we're doing tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 16, as you're turning there, I do want to make a point of inviting you to Thursday night. We are doing something very, very special with the other churches in Fullerton. We do this twice a year where we get together and meet to pray and worship and seek God as the church in Fullerton, which is not just Calvary Fullerton, but there's all kinds of churches that are a part of this, and good Christian evangelical churches, and very good stuff. And so that's this Thursday at 7:30 up at Evie Free. That's the big church up on Brea Boulevard in Baston Cherry. And our worship team is going to be actually be a part of it this time for the first time. So we're like totally jazzed and everything. So please come in. Let's all sit in the front row so we can have a happy smiley faces when we do all their songs that nobody else knows. No, no, actually, we've already checked with they know all the songs. We make sure we do. Move on. Okay. The study. Chapter 16. David is evacuating his people from Jerusalem. His son Absalom has stolen the hearts of the nation, has raised up a rebellion to overthrow David. Last week we saw as they're evacuating the city, because remember, David doesn't want the battle to be in the city, doesn't want his city destroyed. So he's evacuating, he's taking it down towards the Jordan River is where he's heading. And as he was evacuating, remember we ran into three of his friends last week, and we talked about friends who were, you know, the real friends in life, and you know, the warrior and the priest and the counselor. This morning we're going to look. He's still in the same spot, pretty much, and he runs into an enemy, and so we're going to look at David's response to a guy who doesn't like him very much. I kind of have this working title for my message this morning. It's this: what do you do with people who don't like you? What do you do with people who don't like you? Now, I asked this question first service. I was very encouraged. Only because I know that there are people who don't like me. It's taken me a while to get used to that. And you know, I used to think, oh, nobody could never not like me. But there's lots of people who don't like me. How many of you have ever had somebody who just does not like you? Somebody, really? Oh, whew, praise the Lord. Then you can do the message. I was thinking Jamie could do the message, because this was like her message at the ladies' retreat, wasn't this? Something along those lines? I'm sorry. But I'm stuck with this message. I'm supposed to do this. So, okay. Let's read. I'm sorry, I'm rambling. Verse 5. When King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. The mighty men were on David's right hand and left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. And when then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, this is David's nephew, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Come on, come on, come on, let me at him, let me at him. Come on. The cowardly lion, you know. Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? Let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, Behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite or repay me good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along the hillside over against him and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him and cast dust. What do you do with people who don't like you? What do you do with people who don't like you? Let's go back to verse 5. It says, then when King David came to Bahurim, then comes out this guy named Shimei. Shimei comes from a place called Bahurim. It's a little village, belongs to the tribe of Benjamin. Shimei is from the tribe of Benjamin. Bahurim is like, I don't know, just a couple miles outside of Jerusalem. Just a little village outside of Jerusalem. The name Bahurim means young men's village. It means young men's village. And I'm sorry that I sometimes go off a little bit on these Bible names and all, but I just couldn't help but thinking how appropriate. I find it interesting that the man with so harsh words comes from the young man's village. Suggestion, just a suggestion. The things that we're going to see in Shimei are signs of immaturity. The things that Shimei does, whether you want to go with the Bahurim idea or not, I think the things that Shimei is doing are quite immature. So out comes this guy, a man whose name was Shimei, or Shimi. His name means renowned. And actually, his name actually is, I mean, it's kind of interesting. He is of the family of the house of Saul. This guy actually does have clout. This is a guy who's related to David's predecessor, King Saul. He's of the family. He's of the house of Saul. He's got lineage. And, you know, sometimes hard things hurt worse when they come from a person with reputation. Look at Esther chapter 2, verse 5. I'm going to throw out some little tidbits here before we get into the real stuff. I just think this is interesting. Esther, book of Esther. We're going to do lots of Bible flipping this morning. I hope you don't mind. Where is the book of Esther? It's after the book of Nehemiah, after Kings and Chronicles. If you get to Psalms, you're way too far. If you go to Psalms, go left to Job, and go left even more, you get to Esther. Chapter 2, verse 5. There are two heroes in the book of Esther. One is a pretty gal named Esther. She's a queen. She becomes queen, wins a beauty contest, and saves the world. Now, how about that? You know, that's a good line. There's a good thing for a movie, you know. Win a beauty contest, save the world. That was Esther. But she had help from her relative, a man named Mordecai. And it says in chapter 2, verse 5, it says, now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai. Morty. He's the son of Jair. He gives his lineage. The son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Kish is the name of Saul's father. Now, this is hundreds of years after David. This is hundreds of years. But we're given little flecks of this guy's lineage. Not the whole shot. But this guy is a descendant down the line from Shimei. This is what the Jews believe. This is in their Talmud, their commentaries. They believe that this guy was related to the same guy that cursed David. And the only reason I point this out, this is just kind of interesting. You know, good can come from bad. Sometimes we get this idea, you know, that that every bad thing that our fathers have ever done, we're cursed with. You know what? Not necessarily so. You don't have to be like your dad. You don't have to be like your mom. You can be different. Jesus can make you different. So it's kind of a little encouraging thing, isn't it? That here's this yucky guy, Shema. I mean, the guy is a total jerk. He had big J on his t-shirt, I think. It's a J for jerk. But down the line, you know, one of the really coolest guys in Scripture, Mordecai, will be his descendant. You don't have to be like your parents. Let's go back to Samuel. And so back in verse 5, when David came to Bahurim, behold, there came a man of the family of house of Saul. His name was Shimei, the son of Gerai. He came forth and cursed still as he came. He cursed still as he came. The New American Standard says, he came out cursing continually as he came. The word for curse, the Hebrew word for curse, there are two distinct Hebrew words that are translated curse in the Old Testament. One of them talks about, you know, like the curse and then the person's face falls off, you know, that kind of a thing. You know, where they pronounce a curse and then suddenly ants crawl up their legs. That kind of a curse. This curse is different. This is a curse that speaks of humiliating somebody, belittling somebody, yelling, calling a person names. And that's the word that's used here. He's not pronouncing lightning bolts upon David. He's just calling him names and calling him a dirty, filthy person and stuff like that. It's an intensive form. In other words, he's like really laying it on David. Really laying it on David. Let's look at Titus chapter 3. Now, the Titus verses this morning come to us by way of my wife, who was sharing with me. We were talking about this morning's message, and she was sharing with me about how the parallels are with some of the stuff that she's doing Thursday morning. This is, ladies, a preview of next Thursday morning, so I'm stealing your thunder, dear. Sorry. Titus chapter 3. And actually, this one came by mistake because she told me that the verse was Titus 2, verse 3. And dyslexic me, I looked up Titus 3, verse 2. And you know what? It was the coolest verse. It actually fit. So here we go in the message. You guys aren't chuckling at nothing I say this morning. Man, oh man. I need some drums, put a bump or something. Should I tell a joke or something? No. Like, what was that joke? No, okay. Titus 3, verse 1. Put them in mind, Paul says to Titus, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates. This is Titus 3, verse 1. To be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. The Greek word that's speak evil, don't, speak no evil of people, is blasphemeo. You get the word, we get a word blaspheme. Don't blaspheme. Speak evil of no man. And he says, verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse different lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. Speaking evil of people, cursing, doing a shemay, comes from a heart that's bad. When we say, when we speak evil of people, doing what Shimei is doing, it comes from a heart of malice, envy, and hate. Difficult times bring out a person's true colors. Shimei is a person who's kicking David when he's down. David has lived in Jerusalem for years. Hasn't heard any of this stuff before. Not from Shimei. But now that David's down and out and running for his life, the tough times show people who they really are. Difficult times brings out a person's true colors. Let's go back to Samuel, verse 6. So as he came out, he cursed still as he came, and he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. So here's this one angry man throwing stones at David. And David's men are all around him. And like you try to picture this. Picture President Bush walking along in a crowd, and then there's all these guys with the dark glasses and the suits and in the earpieces, you know, and they're holding their chest. They got their hands inside their jackets, you know. And this guy's throwing rocks at the president. I mean, this is stupid. I mean, this is really quite a scene. I don't know if you've ever seen the pictures of Ariel Sharon and his bodyguards. I mean, man, you don't mess with those. He's got like Goliaths all around him. He's got these really 7 foot tall guys in their robe, and they got the sunglasses too, and they got the ear things, and they carry Uzis out in front of them. I mean, you know, don't you know? This is an absolute amazing thing, and he's throwing stones at David and stuff. What do you do? What do you do with a person who doesn't like you? What do you do with people who don't like you? First answer. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Matthew 5, verse 43. Look at what Jesus says. Matthew 5, verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. How do I respond to people who don't like me? Respond with blessing. People who want to throw stones at you. Now, you're not going to see David quite doing this, okay? But this is what Jesus tells us to do. Respond with blessing. Both in the Old and the New Testaments, the words to bless people carries the idea of happiness. To bless somebody is to, I wish happiness on you. I wish something good would happen to you. That's the idea of bless. We talk about God blessing us. It's talking about the good things that God's doing, what God wants to do for us. And so somebody's throwing rocks and yelling names at you and everything, and Jesus says, bless them. Pray for them. Make sense? Uh-uh. No, I want to catch the rocks and throw them back. I want to think up a few choice words myself. This doesn't make sense to me. But Jesus says when you do that, you're showing yourself to be a child of God, because that's what God does. We're shaking our fist at God, and he sends rain, and he blesses us, and he takes care of us. How do I respond to people who don't like me? Jesus says, respond with blessing. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. That's toward the back of your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Now, we could turn this into a lesson about marriage, by the way. I'm going to have to let you do that. But we're going to start at verse 8, but the first 7 verses of 1 Peter 3 are all about marriage. It's all about husbands and wives and how you treat each other. And so when he says in verse 8, he says, finally, he says, finally, he's summing up how you're supposed to act towards each other. But we're going to make it a little bit broader than just husbands and wives, but husbands and wives, pay attention here. And I'm going to read to you out of New Living Translation. He says this, finally, all of you should be of one mind, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate when people say unkind things about you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God wants you to do, and He will bless you for it. For the Scriptures say, if you want a happy life and good days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and keep your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Work hard at living in peace with others. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns His face against those who do evil. Shimei is one of those people who will kick you when you're down. I think some of us have experienced things like that. You know, when the worst times have come out, and then here comes this person to kick you when you're down. He's like, they're like vultures. They smell the death, and then they start circling, you know. Jesus says, respond by blessing. Respond by blessing. Look at John chapter 9. I want to show you an example of Jesus' heart. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Jesus didn't kick people when they were down. Jesus healed them. John chapter 9. And as Jesus passed by, oh, and by the way, it hit me that first service, this is taking place, I think, outside of Jerusalem. It talks about the Pool of Siloam and stuff like that. So this is like in the same area. And I was thinking, this is kind of cool because, you know, we got two different incidences kind of all happening around the same area. Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, that this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What did they have the mindset of that day, which is this. Whose fault is this? Who are we going to blame? Who are we going to sue? Whose fault is it that this guy's got so many problems? Now, Shimei's, you know, standing there throwing the stones at David and say, look at the trouble you're in. It's your fault, you bloody man. And the disciples are standing there in Jerusalem, standing there to this blind guy saying, St. Jesus, we have an interesting question, Jesus. Whose fault is it? And Jesus says, hey, pals, you're asking the wrong question. I don't even play this game. Look what Jesus says. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, that night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Jesus isn't looking to blame. He's looking to heal. Here's you know, back in David's time, there's a guy picking up rocks and dust and throwing it at David. Oh, it's your fault, pal. Look what you're doing. This is all your... Jesus, you know, 1,000 years later, same area, he steps down, but he doesn't pick up rocks to throw it. He makes mud, ooey gooey spittle mud, but he heals the man. Are you throwing rocks or are you making mud? We want to be careful. We're not kicking people when they're down. We all need Jesus' love. We all need His touch. And I just love this about Jesus. just love this about Jesus. You know, there's probably people who want to point at you and say, well, whose fault is it that you're the way you are?
I don't know. Is it my fault? I don't know.
And Jesus says, you know what? Come here, pal. I just want to heal you. That's Jesus' heart. What do I do with people who don't like me? I respond by blessing. Respond by blessing. And get a hold of that, beloved. That's part of growing up. That's not living in Bahurim, young men's village. That's living with the old men. I need to bless. Well, back to Samuel. And so he's got the guys throwing stones, and there's David's bodyguards, you know, going, kill him, let me out of him. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, he said, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial, you man of Satan, you worthless idiot. New Living Translation says, get out of here, you murderer, you scoundrel. Verse 8, he goes on and he says, the Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom under the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. You're a man of bloodshed. Now, I want to make one thing clear. David's situation is related to his sin. We don't want to overlook that. We don't want to pretend that it has nothing to do with sin. Back in chapter 12, if you recall, back in chapter 12, David has committed adultery and he's committed murder. And when he was confronted by the prophet Nathan, in chapter 12, verse 10, it says, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. He shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun, for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. This is what we're going to do tonight is all a fulfillment of this prophecy. And so don't miss that. Don't miss that. It's not that David has no problems. It's not that David is without excuse or has no problems here. But you pay attention to what Shimei is saying? He has nothing to do with that. His accusations have nothing to do with Uriah the Hittite and Kim Bathsheba. He's blaming him for the blood of the house of Saul. What is that all about? I don't know. I don't know if he feels like it's David's fault that Saul got killed by the Philistines. I don't know. Maybe that's what he means. Maybe, David, you should have been there protecting him. You know, yeah, but he would have killed me. You know, maybe he's blaming him for Jonathan and his other brothers who died with Saul on Mount Gilboa. Maybe he's blaming him for Ishbosheth, Saul's son who took over after Saul was killed. Remember, and Ishbosheth's own men killed him. Maybe he's blaming him for that. But you know what? It's all bogus. David has zero responsibility for all of that. These are false accusations. These are false accusations. He's trying to make David his scapegoat. We read about the scapegoat in our quiet times. He's trying to put all of his problems. Because, see, Shimei is of the house of Saul. Before Saul fell, before his kingdom was destroyed, Shimei was like up there in the who's who. I am of the house of Saul. Saul's my cousin twice removed. Yes, he is. I used to get invited to all the parties. Not anymore. And he's blaming his situation on David. Falsely. Let's look at Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Now this is the real verse that Deb was telling me about, and then I did the switcheroo with the numbers. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Remember where Titus is? We've already been there. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. This is a verse about women's ministry. He tells how what the old women ought to be about. And that's anybody that's over the age of 20, I think. You are awake. Oh, praise the Lord. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 3. It says, the aged women also, aged women likewise, that they be in behavior. He's just prescribing how Titus is supposed to encourage the gals in the women's ministry. He says, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, and goes on and on. Not false accusers. Now see, that's what Shimei's doing. He's coming up with stupid, bogus stuff that's not even... Guys, way out there. Way out there. False accusers. The Greek word for false accusers... I'm sorry, I'm giving you so much Greek this week today. But you can understand this word. Diabolos. Diabolos. Does that sound like anything? We see that word around. It means devil. That's what the devil is. He is a false accuser, a slanderer. In fact, actually, really what Shimei's stuff all reminds us of is Satan. He is a false accuser. He is called, in Revelation 12:10, the accuser of the brethren who accuses them day and night before our God. He's the accuser of the brethren. Jesus is the one who forgives. Satan is the one who accuses. We need to be careful, especially when we've got, especially with people that when they accuse us of stuff. Don't give it back, beloved. Whose side are you on? Romans 8:1 says, there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the one who comes to forgive. Psalm 103 verse 10 says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. In other words, God doesn't punish us for every single little sin. Now, that doesn't mean there's no consequence for sin. Yeah, I do some stuff bad, and yeah, there are consequences to my sin. But if God were to punish me for every single sin that I did, I would have been the toast, crumbled, black dust long ago. Because that's not how God operates. The accuser. The real accuser is Satan. Jesus is the one who forgives. Let's go back to Samuel. And so then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king. He says, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off. I said, come on, come on, come on. Let me at him, you know. When I can see things around and, you know, swinging his sword. Come on, come on, you know. David's probably got him by the collar, you know. And he's holding him back, you know. And he said, come on, come on. You know what? We need to be careful about our well-intentioned friends. We talked last week about how good it is to have friends who will fight for you, people who will stand with you, people who will defend you. But we also need to be careful that we don't let our friends get out of hand. Because sometimes our friends want to go do things that God has no intention of doing. In Luke chapter 9, there's a story where Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And he passes through the country of Samaria. And the Samaritans aren't real friendly to people who like to go to Jerusalem. They think they're a bunch of jerks. And so they want to go, they're passing through a village of Samaria. And the Samaritans say, "We get out of here. We don't like this Jesus guy because he's a Jerusalem lover. We don't like this guy." And Jesus has friends like Abishai. Their names are James and John. They have this. These are the biker guys. These are the disciples that wore the black leather jackets. They are called the Sons of Thunder, and they've got a temper. And they say, you know, Jesus, we were just reading in our Bible this morning about Elijah and the calling fire down from heaven. We got this really cool idea what to do with the Samaritans. We got this really cool idea. Jesus, please just let us call down fire on these people. They're just like, oh, because, you know, we love you, Jesus. Just like Abishai. Go ahead, let me out. I'll take his head off. How dare he offend my friend? Got to be careful, beloved. Jesus had to pull James and John back and said, hey, guys, that's not what I'm about. I'm not about taking people's heads off. I'm not about bringing fire down from heaven. I'm about saving people. You need to be careful about well-intentioned friends. Sometimes, you know, beloved, we just need to stand with each other. We don't need to be taken off heads. And then he goes back. Let's go back to Samuel verse 10. And so it says, and the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? Zeruiah is David's sister. And he says, oh, you sons of my sister. You, because Joab is the other one. And he says, what is this with you guys? Let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? New American Standard says it a little differently. It says, if he curses, and if the Lord has told him, curse David, then who shall say, why have you done so? Let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. I personally think David's heart is in the right place. I know that there will be people who will say, well, David has a self-esteem problem, and that he's just very depressed right now, and he thinks he deserves everybody's curses. I don't buy it. David knows that he has sinned. I think he understands very much that his situation is a result of his sin. I think what David is saying is, you know what? You know what, guys? I need to learn something here. What do I do with people who don't like me? How do I respond to people who don't like me? We respond by blessing. Here's another one. I can respond by learning. What if God's wanting him to curse? And I should be paying attention to this. That's what David's saying. You know, I think I kind of need to, you know, he doesn't got it all right. He's not correct in this. You know, I'm not responsible for Saul. But what if I need to be learning something here? Hard things that people say, sometimes we call them curses. Sometimes the hard things that people say, we call reproof. Let me just read you a bunch of verses from Proverbs. Proverbs 10:17 says, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Chapter 12, verse 1, Proverbs says, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is stupid. Proverbs 13:18, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. In other words, you know, the person that pays attention to instruction will get honored. The person says, I don't want to hear it. Oh, you're in trouble. Proverbs 15:10, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Man, you keep doing the things you're doing, you're going to get AIDS. Well, I don't want to hear that. Oh, well, what's going to happen? Got to be careful. Proverbs 15:31, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. 17:10, Proverbs 17:10, it says, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. In other words, a wise person will pay attention and say, what am I supposed to learn through this? That's wisdom. That's not living in Bahurim. That's maturity. What am I supposed to learn through this? Am I teachable? So maybe you're going through a hard time right now with somebody that's just been a total jerk, and you ought to be suing them and getting a gun and shooting them. You should do all kinds of things. What if God's trying to teach you something? I think that some of the most difficult things, most difficult times that seem totally unfair, you will find God is still teaching you. What am I supposed to learn? I found a bit of an old song by Charles Wesley. I don't even know what the tune is. But it was a song that he wrote. We wrote a whole verse about Shimei, David and Shimei. And I thought it was interesting. He's got these lines. It says this, Lord, I adore thy righteous will through every instrument of ill. My father's goodness see, except the complicated wrong of Shimei's hand and Shimei's tongue as kind rebukes from thee. He says, through every instrument of ill, my father's goodness see. I even the people that are out to do me bad, out to rip me off, I can see God's goodness in it. He says, except the complicated wrong of Shimei's hand and Shimei's tongue. The things that Shimei's doing, you know, the rocks that he's throwing, the accusations, it's all very complicated. Because he's accusing David of stuff that, well, the accusations aren't right, but there's something to it that I got to pay attention to. He's got the sin wrong, but God is rattling my cage a little bit here. And so he says, accept the complicated wrong of Shimei's hand, Shimei's tongue. Accept it as kind rebukes from thee. So to learn the lessons as if, what if God is trying to give me a loving, kind rebuke? You need to change. Learn. Respond by learning. What am I going to learn from all of this? Do you go through your difficult times? Do you learn lessons? Or is it just, I survived another one. No. See, God wants you out of Bahurim. He wants you out of the place of the young kids. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to learn the lessons. Another point here is this. Look at Leviticus 19:17. Kind of parallels this. We reread this morning in our quiet time. We read through the Bible, Leviticus 19, verse 17. And it was kind of interesting reading this because I read this in a different way than I've read it before because of what we're doing this morning. So I threw this into the study. You're going to see a little snippet of a verse that you know quite well, but I don't know if we've ever paid attention to what the verse is set in, what the setting of the verse is. Leviticus 19, verse 16. No, 17. Leviticus 19, verse 17 says this. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Now, we know that last part really well, right? So we know that one. And the greatest commandment, love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. But interesting what it's a part of, isn't it? Let me read the New Living Translation, the same verses. He says this, do not nurse hatred in your heart for any of your relatives. Confront your neighbors directly, so you will not be held guilty for their crimes. Never seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And the point I just want to make is this, you know, there is a place for saying hard things. There is a place for saying hard things. Rebuke your neighbor. But what's it done in? Love. There is a place for saying hard things, but not out of hatred, not out of bitterness, not out of bearing a grudge, not out of getting even. Only when it's done in love. Ephesians 4:15 says that we grow up when we speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. There is a place for saying hard things. But when it's done in love. Let's finish this up. One last point. Back to Samuel. And so David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my son which cometh forth from my bowels seek my life. How, you know, my son's out to kill me. Why can't this guy say a few words? Just let him alone. Let him alone and let him curse. For the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite or repay me good for his cursing this day." And David and his men went by the way. They moved on. They moved on. Last thing, how do I deal with people who don't like me? Walk away and put it in God's hands. Walk away and put it in God's hands. Now, this doesn't mean that David will never act in regards to Shimei. We're actually going to see Shimei, two more incidences we're going to see Shimei pop up. We're going to see Shimei next week in chapter 19 after David has beaten Absalom. And he comes back to Jerusalem. And Shimei is there going, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe what I told you. Oh man, will you forgive me? Oh man, am I in trouble?" See, right now, Shimei's all over David because he thinks, the guy's going to get it. So I can tell the guy what I really thinks and everything. And then David comes back as the reigning king, and Shimei's like, "Oh man, am I in big trouble? Oh man, oh man, oh man." And you know what? David's going to be kind to the guy. But after some time goes by, and David is about to hand the kingdom over to his son Solomon, David has instructions about Shimei. He's thought about it for a couple years. In the 1 Kings 2:9, it says, he says to Solomon, "But now do not consider him innocent. You are a man of wisdom. You will know what to do to him. Bring his gray head down to the grave in blood." Now, see, at the moment we're at, David can't tell up from down. He can't tell what's happening. He doesn't know whether Shimei is, you know, speaking for God or if he's not. And he's just, and you know what? He's not going to respond to it. He's not going to make up his mind then and there whether Shimei ought to be shot or whether Shimei ought to be enshrined as a hero. He doesn't know what to do with Shimei. So he moves on. Later, after some wisdom and thinking about it and all, and he's past the event, he realizes, you know what, Shimei is a dangerous guy. Solomon, you're going to need to deal with him. You're going to need to deal with him. But that comes after some time. At this point, though, David walks away. He walks away and he puts it in God's hand. How do I know he put it in God's hand? Look at Psalm 3. This is the last thing we're going to look at. We looked at this last week. I want to read it one more time. It's a great psalm. The title says, "A Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son." This isn't a psalm of David when he had conquered or was fighting Absalom. This is not a psalm of David after he's returned from conquering Absalom. This is while he's fleeing. This is when David's on the run. This is the very time that we're looking at right here. He says, "Lord, how are they increased that troubled me?" I mean, like one after the other. I can't believe it. Absalom, the thousands of Israel, Ahithophel, Shimei. How many are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, "There is no help for him in God." Because God's cursed you, man. You're in trouble with God. "But thou, Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, the Lord sustained me. Now, you know that David is trusting the Lord because he's sleeping through the night. No. There are times where you get up because God wakes you up in the night. I know that. But I know what it's like to toss and turn. You just can't go to sleep because of all the stuff. Is anybody else? Am I the only one that does? Okay, good. Good, okay. And look at this. He's put it in God's hands. And he says, you know what? I had the best sleep last night you would have. I've never had this wonderful sleep. He says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Now, we're going to look at the whole thing tonight with all the people that were gathered against David. Josephus records that David had, at this time, 4,000 men. That was the size of his army. We don't know the size of Absalom's army, except at the end of the battle, David's men have killed 20,000 of them. So they're way outnumbered. I mean, way, way outnumbered. But David says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Walk away and put it in God's hands. I carry around in my back pocket. I keep my keys in my back pocket. And I have keys for all kinds of things here. This is the key to my wife's car. This when she, I get to drive it every once in a while. No, you can't have it over here. No. This is my wife's car. This is my car. It's my little Honda, okay? I have here the key to our front door. I have the key to the back door. I have the key to the sound closet. That's a pastor's privilege, you know, is to be able to get in the sound closet and play with the microphone. I have a key to about half of the padlocks in the church, this little key. I have here the key to the front door of the church. These are my keys. I take this key, I stick it in the ignition of my car and turn it, and the car goes. These are my keys. This is what makes me go. This is what gets me places. What do I do with people who hate me? Walk away and trust God. Go ahead, take them. Give the keys away. Put it in God's hands. Put it in his hands. Let go of the keys. Stop grinding it. Stop trying to start the situation. Put it in his hands. Well, give me my keys back.